Fred Film Radio interview.
You're listening to Fred Film Radio, Benedicte Pro, covering for you the 20th edition of the Marrakesh Film Festival. And today we're talking about the documentary Bye Bye Tiberias by Lina Sualem. And we're talking to the director herself and her mother, Iyam Abbas, whose relationship and whose family history is central to this documentary.
Hello, Lina. Hello, Iyam. Lina, your first film was about your father's family.
What prompted you to invite your mother, Iyam, to open the pains of the past, awaken the pains of the past, to quote what she says in the film, and go back to Dirana, which was in Palestine, is now in Israel, and around the Tiberias Lake, where there used to be the city Tiberias, which doesn't exist anymore? What prompted you to do it now?
So my first film was about my Algerian grandparents, and so it was about transmission. And of course I filmed my father, but at first it wasn't about him, it was more about the transmission between grandparents to father to daughter. And when I was showing around my first film in festivals, a lot of people were asking me if I was going to do something about my Palestinian family and the story of transmission there. And I was already filming, but saying that I wasn't sure that I was capable of doing it, because it's a story that is very difficult to tackle. There's a lot of tragedies, a lot of pain, so I was really afraid to tackle it. And at the same time, I was already filming my grandmother and my mother, and so it was kind of a natural continuation for me to do this second film, to continue exploring transmission in the family in context of exile and displacement.
And who is guiding who, Iyam? Because it seems in the movie that it really goes both ways. You're guiding her through the history of your ancestors, but she's also directing the project.
That's Lina's intelligent, maybe, if it looks both ways. Because the reality of it is, like, she was really guiding me. In the sense of course, I'm her mother, I transmitted things to her, but finally she turned it, like, the other way around, and she kind of like put me in front of realities and questions that she was asking herself, for which she did not have answers. And the answers maybe could have come from me, but I didn't have answers for everything. So she went to look further up in my roots, to kind of interrogate my mom and then interrogate the story of my grandma. But yes, no, it's really like Lina's path, Lina's journey in questioning me as part of this linear of women in my family about what she was seeking for.
But I'm leading, and my voice is leading also the narrative, but I used my mother also as a guide in the film, as she's the main character, because she's the one that connects me with all the other women of the family. So I used her as a guide, and she opened up the door to all the other women character.
Iyam, may I ask a bit about the emotional journey that it was to be brought back to a place you left and be faced with notions of home, belonging?
It's a very big question. Like, I don't know if I can in one sentence really resume what belonging means and what home means. It's just the decision to leave is never easy. The decision to leave those who you loved and that they influenced your life is not easy. The decision to leave home or what was once home is not easy. But at the same time, you make your decisions because you just, like, there is almost a survival sort of element in it, in order to fulfill things and to establish oneself. You know, and of course, the way I was made and my dreams and what I thought I wanted for my life, I couldn't fulfill all of this in there with all the pressures, whether social or political, were just like too much for me to handle at one stage of my life. So I guess I left, but I think I left with that notion of home and with that notion of belonging. And I don't think really, like, one day I can say I don't belong. I will always belong, but because it feels like even after 50 years, it's still like getting hold of me, you know, and just like the fact that Lina brought me back to face all these questions and face all these things, it's not something new to me, because it's something that I lived with all my life through my work, through what my engagements, through all the characters that I was playing. So it is, you know, kind of it's a big cooking thing, you know, that just like keeps going with you. Like, the fire is always lit, and the fire is always like kind of you know, is there to kind of like have you always think, never stop really kind of like wondering about what the sense of it all. Yeah.
In the film, we can sense some kind of heaviness when you talk about leaving, some guilt, some heaviness.
There's always guilt. There's always guilt. There's always heaviness. There's always guilt because you leave and knowing that it's the right decision, but you know that you hurt by leaving. You hurt yourself and you hurt others. And you don't want to hurt, but you know that you have no other choice. So, like, the guilt is there in the sense of, like, who wants to leave a mom or a dad or a grandma or a house or a home, right? Or an, like, a watan,
nation.
Yeah, patrie, okay. Patrie in French. Je sais pas comment on dit.
Yeah.
So, like, all of it together, yes, it is something that follows you up. Like, but, of course, you overcome guilt at one stage because you establish new relationships with those that you left behind. And it's just, it's not really about just like I cut everything and I go and I'm selfish and I don't care about you. It's no, it's I go and I care about you. I go, but I still love you. And I don't want you to just like, I want you to bless my way because I'm blessing yours. But there is somehow like the paths don't meet. So they had to separate, but they still go along with each other. And the love is always there, and the, you know, the appreciation and the recognition of what I got from there. And that's why I had that strength as well to give it, you know, and to kind of transmit it to Lina in a way, you know. Just this whole cycle of life that just, like, gets hold of you at one stage and just keeps you attached to it all.
There's also this line about forgiveness in the film. Do you feel like after making it, something was resolved?
I mean, making the film is necessary, and it's necessary for Lina, but I'll leave her talk as well about her choice to make the movie. But that forgiveness, yes, forgiveness is part of, like, really huge values that I received, and I guess somehow I transmit it, because Lina is very aware of that. So it's very interesting to... for me, it's very fulfilling to know that, you know, that in that sense of transmission, this biggest thing called forgiveness, you know, that I received from my grandma and my mom after her, well, I was able to transmit it to Lina in a way.
Maybe a good translation for patrie would be motherland. And in this case, it's quite nice because we discover women. And we discover women who, even your great grandmother, your mother, were quite independent, and they were special, even though they had so many children and stayed true to tradition as well. And you went a bit further from that by through your artistic career. But those women are so—it's so nice to see them interact and to see this freedom they have and the laughs they have together.
Yeah. Yeah, for me it was really important to highlight them and all their strength, also their complexities, their vulnerabilities, and also what impressed me is each of them and their time took choices that were kind of a vanguard, because my great grandmother, she had to raise her 8 children alone while her husband passed away, and she took this charge upon her, and she's been able to transmit values of love and forgiveness when she actually lived through a tragedy and was separated from all her family and her eldest daughter. And so it was really impressive for me, and that's what my mother also was telling me. The souvenir that she has of her grandmother is someone that was always smiling and giving love. And when you actually know what she's been through, it's impressive. You know, it's kind of a miracle, because you would expect her not to be able to bring joy and love after all she's been through. And my grandmother also, what was really impressive in her path is that she decided to become a teacher, and she hung to her dream despite the fact that a lot of the context didn't allow her to do that because of the war and the displacement and the forced exile that they went through. And she raised the family while keeping on teaching, and that was really impressive, because also I discovered that it was a choice. Mm-hmm. It was something that she wanted to do, and she's been able to do it. And then my mother, who was not destined to arts, took this decision and had this dream that she followed. So each of the women in the film followed a dream and believed in herself and was able to change something in her path, was mm-hmm. able to influence the world around them, to influence all the women around them, and to transmit great values that we still have today.
What I found really elegant is that, as it says, it said in the beginning and the end, you're in the middle of somewhere. There's Jordan on one side, Lebanon, Syria. But in the middle of that are the people. You talk about the people, and the archives are as well archives that show the personal stories, such as the one of your family.
Yeah, for me, it's also all I know. So I cannot speak about these people without talking about their emotions and their complexities. And the thing is, we are used in the media to talk about this region and the Palestinians, for example, as a mass, as numbers. They're totally dehumanized also. And the thing is, there's such a big contrast with the mediatic representations and what I know of all the Palestinians that I know and I grew up with and my family. And so for me, they had so much richness that was totally silenced and totally avoided. And for me, it was really important it was natural. It wasn't even a choice. You know, this is what they give, all these images that I have, all these faces, all these moments of sharing, of traveling, of joy that I've experienced with my Palestinian family. All the, you know, the laughing. This is very natural. This is what I've always known of this family and these people. And I was lucky to have all these images because in the context of a story that is silenced and not officially written, each image becomes a proof of our existence and a proof of our humanity. So having all these images and being able to find back archival footage in which also we see all these faces in the 30s, in the 40s, in a context where officially it is said that there was no one there, when there was actually societies and families and a life, it becomes precious. It becomes a treasure.
Lina, how much of a clear idea do you have of the film before you made it compared to the film we have now?
What was clear for me is that I was focusing on the women and the transmission between generations. What was clear also is that, it's an intimate story and a personal story, but I was aware that through the intimate story, I was also telling and highlighting the collective story, because in a context where the collective story is not written, each individual story adds up and builds the collective memory. So I knew that, and I wrote a lot on that, but I had no idea how to make it work. And it took a lot of time also finding the historical archives, for example. I was dreaming of finding things and being able to tell the story with them, but it took 6 to 5 years to find them. And I, you know, while searching, I didn't know what I was looking for because I didn't know what existed. So it was a challenge also always to imagine things. And of course, I was able to make this film also thanks to my creative collaborators, which is my co-writer Nadine Naous and my editor Gladys Joujou. We were working together since the beginning because we already had images, which were my personal archives. We were watching them and writing, and then I was searching for more images and imagining what I was going to film. But of course, I knew that I was making parallel between the past and the present. I knew that all these timelines would have to cohabit in the film. The thing that came very late is my voice in the film, because it took me a long time to accept that I was also going to be actively part of the story. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to give the focus to the women, and I understood that I was also part of, you know, of this lineage of transmission. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm the one that is reactivating and recomposing the puzzle. And also, you know, the film became for me, and this was what I was dreaming of, but I didn't know concretely how to make it. Like, the process of writing took a long time. But it became like an imaginary territory in which all of us could cohabit in different timelines and in our reality, authenticity, and complexity, because this was something very important for me, to give back complexity to these women and these stories, because they're often very binary and stigmatized.
Did your discussions about the film extend from the family realm to the artistic in terms of how you composed the film?
I wasn't including my mother in the artistic conversations.
No, I think her mother didn't want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were just like, I would just brief her before doing a scene and saying, okay, I'm going to ask you some questions about this or about that. And even with the sisters, I really wanted them to be at ease, so I didn't tell them anything beforehand. They had seen my first film, so they knew that when I filmed family, it wasn't something that would be voyeur, or it was like part of a more
journalistic.
So they trusted me. Of course, my mother was resistant in the beginning.
Hardest.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Because I think it's not easy. I mean, like, I'm often like when people ask me to be on camera, it's for a certain reason that I've been used to, which is like interpreting a part that is not me, though an actor put from himself into whatever work he has to do. Like this, in this case, it was just like going into my person and just like really kind of exploring things from my personal life to the world in front of the camera, an exercise that I'm not used to unless it's just like a journalistic sort of, you know, questioning, which I was very comfortable with. So in the beginning, this is what I was doing. Lena would ask me questions and I would just talk to Lena as if she was an exterior buddy, you know, and just someone that I don't know, but like asking a question, so I'm going to answer her in a very nice kind of intellectual whatever, you know, putting the words together. And what she was looking for is completely something different. She was really looking for like a real image of my emotion concerning a question of how I really lived it, and it was just like more into the component, I would say, of my emotional, you know, build up since I was a kid. So it wasn't easy, really. It wasn't easy, and it took time to get that, you know, that trust between us. I mean, it didn't take years, of course, but it took the time that it needed to take in order for me to understand where she was going, what she was digging for, and for me to open up to that and to accept the exercise. But once that trust was established, so everything was, you know, was going on easier in an easier way.
No, and even for me, it took time to find the right tone also, because it was hard for me to address to her only as a daughter. But it took time to find, you know, my voice as the director while filming my mother. So it was something of a balance that we were looking for. And also it was a way for me to understand more, what am I looking for with this film? It's not about digging into her intimate life just to talk. It's not a portrait of her. The film is not a portrait of her as an actress or as a woman. It's a story of four generations of women, and she is one
part of them.
Yeah, so I had to also protect, you know, her intimacy and really focus on the elements that allowed me to build this collective story.
But there is something in this movie that is also part of what relates you to, is that the other story is that someone picked up a camera. I mean, the first headstrong act that we see in the film, Yamabas, was when you told your brother, I will marry someone and I will have your blessing and I will wait your father, exactly. I will marry this English person. But then you also had to negotiate. You wanted to do a photography class and you do the secret theater.
All negotiation. I mean, it's just like, I came up with ideas, like traditionally they weren't accepted for a woman at that time in my society, though my parents were very open people and very cultivated people, and just like, you know, they would finally succumb, I would say, to whatever I felt like doing. That the way was never easy, right? So like I had to fight for it. Mm-hmm. I had to fight for it because it's something not usual, not something that, you know, again, women wouldn't kind of like dare go there at a stage.
For the viewer, seeing this film come at the time when it comes changes a bit the viewing experience and gives it an extra layer, an extra power. Do you have something to say about this, the viewing this film at this particular moment?
The thing is, for me, it's what I was writing 6 years ago when I started working on the film are the same things that I'm saying today and that we're seeing today. It's not something new. It's not something, you know, when I was writing the film, I was talking about this silent story, the dehumanization, the need to transmit these stories before they are forgotten and go into oblivion. The fact that, you know, the memory of these people and the women of my family are not existing in the places in which they lived and grew up. So that's why for me it's vital to keep on transmitting this story yesterday and today always, because it's a culture that has been erased and people that are not present in our official history, and it's stories that have in my family always been vital to transmit, and I know that they are also they echo with a lot of other stories of any people that is uprooted, exiled, and that lives through war.
I just would add, and if this would be the last, that like when Lina made this movie and when we decided to come to this festival, it was long before this whole thing happened, right? So, and the history of that, like whatever is going on there, it's been, as Lina said, it's been ongoing for so long, right? So that whatever whatever the resonation of the movie right now is doing to people, it's just like really the emotional side of what's like how you connect as a spectator of the movie to whatever is happening. It just wasn't meant to be, but it's just like a fact, and this is what it is. But the most important thing for me to say, it's incredible, because when you see this movie now, you almost have an answer to what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I'll leave it at this.
This is what I said yesterday before presenting the film. For me, you know, like today we speak a lot about what's happening in Gaza, but also not only there, like for all the Palestinians in the West Bank and those that live in Israel also. And what I just say, and I always felt, is that any Palestinian in Gaza or in the West Bank is also the children, are also the children, grandchildren of all Palestinian refugees, and these are the stories that we speak about. You know, we don't see them as different entities. It's not like they're not separate from the rest. Like Gaza is not an entity that is separated from the rest of the Palestinian story. It's an ongoing story.
Again, just like to really resume this in one line, I would say, if my mother didn't marry my father, with the history of my grandma and my grandpa, I could have been today a descendant of a family that could have been in any other refugee camp in Gaza or any other place in the world.
Thank you so much, Lina and Iyam.
Fred, 24/7 on Fred FM and smartphone app.